I was born in Grand Haven. I've lived here all my life. And even in 1894. And I have lived here all my life. I went to kindergarten in the old, in the central school. The first 4 years were at the Columbus Street School, which was a three-room school with Miss Elmira Gray was the first grade teacher, and Miss Lou Ingraham taught second and third grades. She had one room with them. And the fourth grade, the teacher was Miss Frances Finlay. That was a very, very good school. One thing I remember about it is that at that time, the teachers, there weren't so many books, but the teacher used to read for 15 minutes every, I think every morning, in some books. It might be the five little peppers and how they grew. That was one that was a favorite. And books like Hans Brinker and the Silver Skates. Those were popular at that time. And some book was read every morning for about 15 minutes. And we looked forward to that. The teachers were excellent. I don't remember especially anything about what went on. And from the fifth grade on, it was in the Central School. And by that time, the new Central School, the old school had burned in 1901, and it was replaced with a three-story building, brick.
How long did it take to replace it, do you know?
You like to know the teachers that...
How long did it take to replace the burned down school, or was it already completed and everything?
I think it was replaced right away, yes. I don't remember that.
If you could tell me what was it like to go to high school in there?
The high school was the third floor of Central School. Central School was the main school, but there had been a smaller school called the White School that was it was painted white. I know. I don't know if it was named for Miss White, the teacher, but that was at the corner of the school block. And I think there was at one time maybe more than a one-room school on Jackson Street in the north end of the city. And there was the Columbus Street School that had four grades. And I think the rest of the school years were in Central School. And the high school at that time was on the third floor. The whole third floor of Central School was the high school, grades 9 through 12.
Oh, okay.
I graduated in 1912. I think there were about 26 in our class. So Grand Haven has been growing slowly, and it's very different from now.
Yes. I'm going to shut the window.
It's all right.
Car.
Just be careful of the telephone wire. I tripped over it one day.
Okay, I'll lean over there. Get too hot, I'll just open it up again. Okay. Did you feel that you got a good education?
Yes, that was in 12th grade. Not so many people went on to college at that time. Mm-hmm. Some of them dropped out before graduating from high school. and found work. And I had 1 year after high school at a normal course, a 1 year course. But as it happened, I didn't teach. But the school library always had been in the central school, and it was used by the students, and I think the town people used it too in the evening. But for some time, there had been interest in a separate library for the whole city, and Dr. Elizabeth Hoffma, who was a doctor here, and she was very much interested in the library, and she worked and she wrote to Mr. Carnegie and got a grant, I think, for $12,500, and with that they built a new library, and that was for the city, and the school turned over its library books to the school, to the library, and that was the start of the public library here.
So you were about 20 years old?
Hmm?
You were about 20 years old?
I shouldn't wonder. Mm-hmm.
I see.
And so they needed someone to type and so forth, and from that I worked into the Miss Isabel Thompson had been the school librarian for some time, and she became the first city librarian, and I was the assistant, and it has grown from that time to the Laudert Library of today.
Has it changed locations?
Yes, they don't have the old building anymore.
Where was the old?
That was on 3rd Street near Washington Street, behind the post office. It was on the corner of Washington and 3rd, and the library was down 3rd Street next to it.
Was it very popular?
Yes, it was. At that time, there wasn't too much for young people to do, and it was a popular place, and people were interested in reading. It was a large room, divided by book stacks, you know, into different places for reading tables and.
They
didn't have so much money to start with, but some years I wasn't there anymore. But the Laudert Foundation gave money for the library, and then they also gave money as a matching grant for the community center that was built next to it.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
How long did you work in the library typing?
I imagine it must have been some 40 years.
Wow.
Miss Thompson retired and the staff grew slowly.
Did you like to read books?
Well, yes, I still do.
Do you? It's good. Do you think that How do you feel about Grand Haven now, this area now?
Yes, Grand Haven has grown very much, especially with the all new industries coming in and more money, more valuation. So the library now has much more money to do with than when it was first started.
Did they do a lot of, what type of industries were around was around and about after you graduated?
The straw and plaque was a big industry. The tannery was another. That's the Eagle Ottawa leather company, I think.
Oh, yeah.
And there have been other larger. Some of them have, some of them aren't here anymore. And the straw and plaque piano is they're using the building now for downtown mall. And that's interesting too.
What did your father do?
Well, my father was a sailor when he came to this country, and later on, when he was sailing, there weren't so many steam vessels. They were schooners and bigger vessels. But all in those days, maybe between the 70s and the early 1900s, 1870s, around there, most of the lake travel was by schooner. I have heard my father tell as we sat at home, of some of the things that happened on the lakes. And I often wished that I had taken a pencil and paper. And I don't remember, but I know that it was busy with travel on the lakes. Much of the travel that would be schooners in the lumbering industry would come down from the Michigan forests, and with these huge logs, and there would be maybe the deck load on a schooner. And of course, you know what Lake Michigan is in rough weather. Mm-hmm. The storms can come up very fast.
Yeah.
And the schooners would head for the nearest harbor. And of course, the winds can be pretty strong, and sometimes they wouldn't make the harbor. They would pile up on the beach, and they would lose the deck load of lumber. The beach, as I remember it, was littered with big logs, deck loads of schooners that went aground. You know, when the storm was over, they could they'd lose their deck load. But they could be worked off again, and then they'd go along. Sometimes they were wrecked, and that's where the life-saving service. There was a keeper. I think he was the only man in charge there, and he would depend on volunteers to go out when there was a wreck. And later on, they had one paid man, and I think my father was that for some time. Later on, he was the keeper of the station, and with a crew to go out to the wrecks.
Oh,
and that was a busy time.
What did he do when he went out to the wrecks? Did he just save the people?
Yes, take the people off from wrecks. Sometimes they could make their own way if they were near enough to the shore, but sometimes, and I know there was it was kind of a hard thing. They had what they called a certain type of gun that would shoot a line out to a wreck, and if they could get it to the wreck, the men on board would fasten it to the lake, to the mast probably, and get out a boat, or what they called, I think, the breeches boy, a line from the ship to the shore, and then from that, a line carrying a man, one by one, they could get them to shore. I've never seen that done, but I know how it worked.
It was called Bridges Boy?
Yes. Ah. You want me to write that down?
No. Oh, no, I haven't. Thanks anyway. Did you worry about your father? Oh, sorry. Go
ahead. Well, I imagine it was pretty stormy out there sometimes, and in the fall, when the schooners were still operating, later on, when the winter came, there wouldn't be nearly so much. I don't think there was much at all, probably until spring again.
Yeah.
With the winds from the west, there was, I imagine, ice spot harbors sometimes.
There is, yeah. When did the schooners start to go? When did the schooners start to become replaced by steamers?
When did the schooners
start to be replaced by other types of transportation?
I couldn't say just when, but probably in the early part of the 1900s, or maybe even in the 90s, that there were more steam-driven vessels, and they were bigger too, of course.
Did you talking more about transportation type things?
Mm-hmm.
How did you feel about the interurban?
Yes, that was we had two trains. I think the Pierre Marquette came in here, and the D&M, the Detroit and Milwaukee, were the two trains serving Grand Haven. But then the interurban came, and that gave more access to Muskegon and Holland and Grand Rapids. And that was a good thing, I think.
Did you enjoy riding the
train? You could get to where you wanted to go.
About how much did a train ride cost to, let's say, Muskegon?
I have no idea, but I could guess, but I don't know, a dollar something, maybe, to Grand Rapids. But I really don't remember that.
Can you tell me a little bit about the wooden sidewalks?
Yes, well, there were no paved roads, of course. And the sidewalks were made of wooden planks. Of course, there was a lumbering era too. There was plenty of wood, and most everybody had a sidewalk in front of their house. And sometimes, if they got out of order, you had to be careful sometimes. Or if you drop money, it would probably go between the cracks.
Yeah.
But and then they began to pave the sidewalks. And then we had paved streets too. First, a kind of a macadam, I think, downtown. And it was a kind of a crown road, you know, high in the middle and sloping down on the sides. But then, then they began to pave the whole street.
Okay. Where did you live in Grand Haven?
I lived down by the river on Clinton Street. I think I was born there. Later we moved to across from Central Park on Columbus Street. And then I've lived in one, two, three houses, I think, all my life until I was alone and had to sell a larger house.
Yeah. Did you get married?
No.
No? Okay, so you're Ms.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And how do you like Grand Haven?
How do you write it?
How do you like it?
Well, yes, I like it. I've lived here all my life. It's a good place to live.
Have you traveled to other states?
Somewhat.
And do you like
Florida, New York?
Oh.
West somewhere. I haven't, not so much, but I have. But I like Grand Haven. Is good to come back to.
Yeah, I think so too.
I don't know if I'd want to mine either. I think there was an unrated, one run school, I think, here at some time. I don't know what they were, but what was the, who they were, but maybe a slower learning group. I don't know. I remember it, but I don't remember just where it was. I don't know too much about it, but it was. And then, of course, after a while, they built the ferry school, which is out further. And there was a school that they used to call the Fourth Ward School, too. But now the ferry school is still in use. It's ferry, and now the school district has grown so much that they have this part of the county.
Are you there?
Let's see, I was going to ask you another question now. Mm-hmm. Oh, I know. How did you get lots of tourism? Was there lots of people coming from Chicago and Grand Rapids to come and see Lake Michigan?
We used to have quite a few who came for the summer, and they would come with trunks, and the whole family would come spend the summer out at Highland Park here.
By boat or train?
I think they would come by boat from Chicago, and some part of it. I imagine a good many of them came from Chicago, and quite a few from St. Louis, too, who would come here regularly every year. And some of those families probably still own property out here.
And where was the popular place for them to stay?
Highland Park. Yeah, there was a summer hotel out at the park, and after a while it was there was a state park there. It still is. Pavilions and the Interurban ran regularly out. And they had to turn around so they could come back into town, and that was every day. I think there used to be a small, what they called a dummy train, a small engine and cars that used to go out to the lake too, hourly or half hour, I don't know.
Oh, wow.
That was interesting. Yeah. Otherwise you walked, unless you had a horse and buggy or so. Mm-hmm.
Did you do a lot of walking?
Yeah, we did more.
Did you go to Spring Lake?
No. Unless you had transportation of some kind, we walked to Spring Lake and back. And same with Ferrisburg. I walked to and from Ferrisburg too.
What was the community like? This community, like, were all the people very close?
Oh, Grand Haven was settled by the Reverend William Ferry. He was a Presbyterian minister and a missionary to the Indians. He came with his wife to Mackinac Island from, I think they came from Massachusetts, and they came and worked there among the Indians on the island until his health was not too good and he had to give up his work. So he left Mackinac and came down around the lake with Indians, an Indian canoe. They came around until they came to Grand Haven, and they liked the place so much that they decided to settle there. And at that time, there was, I think there was an Indian trader, what do you call him? He was a trader anyway, Rix Robinson.
Ah, yes.
And you know about him. And he had a station here. I think at the time that the ferries came. I don't know how long after that, but he was one of the real pioneers here. And Mr. Ferry started the Presbyterian Church. And I think at first that was the only church, and then there was a smaller group of people in the Congregational Church, and they formed a church. And then the around 1849, I think there was quite a group of people from the Netherlands who came. Some came to Iowa, some came to Michigan, and they settled at Holland.
Yeah.
That was in 1849, I think. And of course, some from that, some people came north to Grand Haven area, and so there have been quite a few Dutch people who settled in this area. The churches here are several Reformed and Christian Reformed, and there was a kind of Catholic church, and then later on there have been Baptist churches and others. There are quite a few now. But at the early times, they were just the Presbyterian. And then I think there was a small not Catholic, what is it? Yeah, on Washington Street, if you're familiar.
Christian Reformed?
They separated from the Catholic Church. Maybe I'll come to it.
Is it Christian Reformed?
Christian Reformed and the Reformed Church. They're both branches of the church in the Netherlands.
Oh, okay. I don't know the church on Washington.
Not evangelical, that isn't it. Episcopal Church, that's the one I'm trying to think of. There was a small Episcopal Church here at that time, and that church is still here. And the Congregational Church finally disbanded. There weren't so many people coming in, and their numbers were fewer. So, but the Presbyterian and the Episcopal and the Catholic, and now there are Baptist churches here and other smaller groups.
What church did you go to?
I belong to the Reformed Church.
Okay.
Reformed Church in America. That name comes from the church in the Netherlands, and okay. I think there was a separation which some of them seceded, and now there are the two, the Reformed Church in America and the Christian Reformed Church. Those two are the Dutch people, and there are lots of Dutch people of Dutch descent here.
Did your father came with the people in 1849?
No, he didn't. He came, I think, in the 1860s, around 1867. So, when he came, I think there was a recreation room downtown, and I think there was a little group that had a library in that same building. It was a recreation games and a place to spend the evening, you know. And of course, he didn't know the language when he came, so just a way of getting acquainted, too.
Where did he meet your mother?
Must have been in Grand Haven. She came here with her parents from the Netherlands.
Ah.
And I think later they moved to Holland, but then she came back here.
What type of work did your mother do until she got? What did your mother do, work?
I think she worked for some most everybody, everybody who could, I suppose, who had someone working, what they would call a hired girl, or someone to help with the work and the cooking. I think that's what she did before she was married.
And that's how they met?
There weren't so many things to do either. there were perhaps teachers, and there wasn't the amount of work to do here.
When did Grand Haven get a movie theater?
I don't know when, but it must have been sometime in the first part of the century. I think it was called the Vaudette. We didn't go to movies not very often, but my father took the jerky, I think that's how they were made in the first place, a succession of pictures, and they're moving fast. But there would be a string of people coming, and it was all jerky. It was about like this as you saw them go. that I remember.
Did you like it?
I don't remember what it was or anything, but it seems to me there were a lot of people straggling along the... and it was all that jerky motion. That's all I remember of it.
Did you walk? When you watched the movies, you walked?
We didn't have a horse or anything. Not many people did.
No.
Of course, the people with more money, I suppose, had a carriage and horses. And I don't know that there were many bicycles either. I don't remember them anyway.
Have you ever heard of the I think it's pronounced Ockley Finishing School?
What was that?
Ockley Finishing School? Ockley Hall?
Ackley,
is that it?
Oh, yes.
Was that?
Mr. Ackley was one of the lumbering people. Mm-hmm. They came in first, and they had big companies, and they were the more wealthy people. And he lived, I think, where the telephone company and the city hall are, that at least half of that entire block.
Wow.
I guess he gave the property to an Episcopal group who formed a school, Ackley Hall, kind of a finishing school for young ladies, and they had music teachers, and they were right across from Central Park, if you're familiar with it, that corner. I remember we lived on the other side of the park, and often the girls used to walk through Central Park in the morning after breakfast, I guess.
Oh.
And then.
How old were you when?
I imagine teenager at that time. I remember they had roller skates, some of them, and they would skate or walk around. That was their exercise before classes. That school, and it was a very good school. And the Mrs. Wilkinson was, the, I think, the first director and head of the school. And her husband, Reverend James Wilkinson, was the Episcopal minister at the, here at that time. And they were fine people, and it was a very, very good school. But I don't know, finally it came to an end. I couldn't tell you when either. That was a private school, of course.
Was that for high school girls or girls after?
I imagine they were about high school.
Okay.
And maybe older. No, I think you would say high school.
Okay. Was Grand Haven very, were the people in Grand Haven close to each other? The people in Grand Haven, were they close community-wise? Was everybody good friends with everybody else?
As far as I know.
Yeah.
They didn't know the these girls, this school, and the teachers were probably from away, and I imagine it was more people from the Episcopal Church were if that's what you mean.
I just meant generally. Yeah.
Yes, I think it's been a good community. It still is.
Yeah, I think so too. How did you feel when women were first allowed to vote? When was the first time you were allowed to vote for president?
I really couldn't say that. I remember, I don't think I voted for Theodore Roosevelt. When was that? Somewhere around 1900, after 1900, I think. I think 1912 was, he had been, he'd had one or two terms, I think, and then he ran again. And that was in the election of 1912. And he didn't win the election. I think it was Mr. Wilson.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When were you allowed to vote?
I don't remember. I don't think I voted. I don't think I was voting at that time.
Okay.
Would you say around somewhere around 1920?
24 something.
Could that be
when women were allowed to? I think so.
I don't remember.
Were you very happy when you could? Did you feel?
Yeah. I think we considered it a duty more than there wasn't. I don't know how much interest there was in women. Not like today, anyway.
Yeah.
And the men had most of I can't think of the word. I think more slowly.
Oh, I can't think of the word either. So.
I know. No. I don't know. The ones. There weren't so many women who were interested. Some were. Dr. Elizabeth Hoffman was one of them.
Uh-huh.
She was behind different things, like the library. It was really she who got the money from Mr. Carnegie to pay for the first library building. And she was very civic-minded. She worked in the women's club, and she was a medical doctor, too,
oh.
As was her husband, Dr. Edward Hoffman.
Okay.
And he was, I think he too was more, he served in the Michigan legislature, I know, and he was a good doctor too.
So, can I ask you about the 1920s?
Hmm.
The 1920s? That was supposedly the Roaring Twenties?
Yeah.
Did they roar in Grand Haven?
Well, that was after the First World War, and things began to pick up again after the war, and there was more money, you know, more money to do with, and probably more, Grand Haven was growing slowly. I remember Grand Haven, maybe there was first part of the century, was about 5,000, I think, and it seemed to me it stayed that way for some time. But then it has grown slowly, not by leaps and bounds, but it has changed. Sometimes now we're going a lot faster right now, pushing. But some of that too is with Uncle Sam's help.
Yes.
Too, government grants. I think myself that if we do more of it ourselves, we appreciate it more.
I think so too.
And I think that's it should be. I think the government shouldn't be expected to do everything for us.
What part did Grand Haven play in World War One? Were there any?
Oh yes. So, many who went to war.
From this area?
Mm-hmm. Company F, I think, I don't remember the regiment, but they went, we had a local drill company, and they went, of course, as a unit. After that, it was more prosperous when the war was over and people were working back at work. And then, of course, the 1929 depression started. You know. It was a bad time. But then we didn't have money at all. We got along with what we had.
How? Yeah.
Well.
How did you support yourself?
I had a job. There wasn't so much money in it, but we worked. We got along.
Yeah. Did you know many families that suffered very badly in the Depression in the Grand Haven in this area?
There wasn't so much work, of course, but we did get along, and it was that way all over the country. It wasn't just Grand Haven, you know.
Yeah.
It was the state of the country at that time.
Did the people in Grand Haven support each other?
I think so. It's always been a good community to live in.
Yeah. And wasn't that the time then that what they called with this? The corps, the work corps, started coming in?
I didn't get that.
The work corps and the CC?
The CCC camps?
Yeah.
Yes, they had quite a camp here, up in the hills where the Mulligan's Hollow, if you know where that is. That's a sports place now.
Yeah.
Oh, you know it?
Yep, I see.
I don't know, but that's... that was the location of the CCC camp, and they did work around here, the boys. I remember the library helped them in some way, I think, providing reading material and so forth. And of course that dwindled too after a while.
When the economy got better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then World War II came.
Yeah, so they were finally absorbed into work, into other work. And we had, I think we've only had, a long time, we've only had one newspaper, Grand Haven Tribune. But I remember the old, I think it was a weekly paper, the Courier Journal, that was published here. And they were on Washington Street downtown. And then they acquired the daily paper, I think, and that became the Tribune. And of course, and after a while, they outgrew that and had their own building on 3rd Street.
Yeah. Mm.
But I think we've only had that, the one daily newspaper. And of course, the Muskegon Chronicle comes in, and the press from Grand Rapids.
Yeah.
Yeah, there were. Of course, we had the Cutler Hotel. You know, that was only, I think, around the 1880s or 90s. And that was quite a big place. Served a social purpose, too. They had parties and balls down there. I remember the old Riverview Hotel, too, which was on the river, what's now Harbor Avenue.
Oh, really?
Along there, and
I never heard of that.
The business district used to be right around the down near the river, and maybe a block or two this way. The stores were very different, and the stores all stayed open on Saturday nights. Saturday night was a busy place downtown.
Oh, is that what most people did for
yes,
fun?
I think so. And it used to be interesting to come in and see the boats come in from, those were steam vessels, of course, boats like the Alabama from Chicago.
Oh.
It used to run between Chicago and Muskegon, and then in the evening, I think there must have been two boats, and they'd take turns, Chicago to Muskegon, and that from Muskegon in the evening they would come and stop at Grand Haven, and then go on to Chicago. So and the next night there would be the other boat. That was interesting. There was a lot of transportation in steam vessels like that. The Alabama and her sister's ships. And there were quite a few commercial fishing boats that had their homes here. There were a lot, I don't know how many, but there was a good, very good commercial fishing. My father was interested in that too, after he left the life saving service. And then there were the boats like the Crosby, between Grand Haven and Wisconsin. There was a lot of transportation by water.
Yeah. Living so close to the lake.
Mm-hmm.
Did your father get into commercial fishing?
Yes, he was in after he left the Coast Guard, life-saving service at that time.
Did the life-saving service become the Coast part of the Coast
yes,
Guard?
Yes, it is. It's now called the Coast Guard.
Okay.
United States Coast Guard.
Yeah. Okay. Were there mineral springs in Grand Haven?
Yes. Across from the across from Cutler Hotel. I think Mr. Cutler's brother-in-law was named Slayton, and he built the Cutler Annex, which was across the street and all about half where the Old Kent Bank is now.
Oh.
That was a wide, expansive lawn, and at the back of it was the Cutler, the building, the Cutler Annex, an annex to the hotel. And there was a mineral spring there, and people used, it was called the Saratoga of the West.
Oh.
And, I don't know how many people came for that, but people used to come just to drink the mineral water. I don't know what became of that. The library was erected at the back of that, and the bank or the post office at that time was erected on the corner there. I don't know what ever became of that mineral water.
It'll
be interesting to know.
Yeah.
But, because as I remember it, and the annex, whether it burned or what became of it, I don't know. But it was most of it was a big empty lot, and of course people cut across from it. And there was a regular path through there, from the residence section to the business section. I wondered. There was a very good supply of good drinking water too. That one of the stores, a hardware store, had they were called Bungard, and they had a pump in the front of their store, and people used to come from way around with the best water in town anywhere.
Too bad.
Yeah, and I don't know what ever became of that either. There's no
nothing like that.
The vein may be there somewhere under it now, just like the mineral water.
Yeah.
I can't think of anything else that I can tell you.
I just wanted to ask you about the Cutler House.
Mm-hmm.
First, the old one burned down, right?
Yeah.
The first Cutler house burned down.
Yes.
And then a new one was built?
I think it was rebuilt.
Was it as popular as the first?
Well, I think that served in the lumber area. And there were a lot of, there was more money coming in, you know. And of course, the Cutlers, the Savages in Spring Lake, that was a big lumber concern. Those were the moneyed people, you know, and all different ones. You can tell some of the streets, street names here. Albee, he was Mr. Albee. I think Mr. Albee had the first tannery here. And Mr. Pennier, I think, was the first first sheriff of this county.
Oh.
And a lot of the place names here came from those early, the lumbering people and different ones. But that, go back to the hotel, I don't know just when it, yes, that was the big fire of 1889, I think, when something happened in a barber shop or something,
yeah.
Some small building next to the Cutler Hotel, and that of course spread to the hotel. The hotel was got it, I guess.
That was before you were born.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There's a very interesting letter down in somewhere in the museum.
Yeah.
Judge Sowell, he was a lawyer. Judge Charles Sowell was a lawyer here. And his daughter was away at school, and he was very busy. He probably had an office down there somewhere, and so he was busy all that night. And a lot of people were helping, and quite an expense properties that burned at that time. They call that the big fire in Grand Haven. And so he worked all night. And the next morning when the fire was down, he went home and wrote a letter to the daughter who was at school. And he told all about all the funny little things that happened, you know, trunks thrown out of windows and, you know, people wandering around, and they got out with just put the hat on, you know. And that's in, that letter is in the museum now. And it's very interesting. If you ever happen to see it, read it.
Yeah, now that I've heard about it. Okay. Well.
And then that hotel was rebuilt. And I think on the ground floor there were stores, Baudry's department store. I remember that one. And of course there was what was Addison's at the other corner of that block, too, what's now Steckity's. And this, there was a bakery. I think in the early, the first Presbyterian church was in the middle of that block somewhere. But that was earlier, I think. You know, the Cutter family lived right across the street where the People's Bank later was.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
You're very
welcome.
You gave
me lots of good information.
I hope there's something, a little thing that you could use.
Oh, I think it's all tremendous.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's interesting to think back.
It's a lot of learning for me, too.
Mm-hmm.
I hardly knew anything about the history of this area.
Yeah. Are you just starting this? Is it a summer?
They tried to start it a while ago.
Yeah, I know.
But they couldn't get the people working on it.
I know, it does take time.
Yeah.
And it takes, you have to kind of dig for it.
Yeah. So this summer, I asked for a job at the museum, and she thought, wow.
Yeah.
And so now I'm doing...